Welcome to the CFO Show. I'm your host, Melissa Howardson, CFO of Venice Solutions.
And I'm Tom Siegmiller, VP of FP&A at Venice Solutions. So Melissa, are you a football fan?
Well, Tom, I would say I'm a fan of the Super Bowl. I certainly watch that every year, maybe for the halftime show and the nachos and the bets that my family makes about the game. I can certainly appreciate the parallels between being a professional athlete and being in finance. Both need to be honing their skills constantly. As a football player, it's that physical conditioning. As a finance professional, it's staying on top of what's coming, making sure you're staying sharp with your analytical decision-making skills.
And don't forget about teamwork. Finance teams need to collaborate and work together within the boardroom, within the organization, in order to achieve our finance and operational goals. Football teams need to do the same thing on the field in order to ultimately achieve success and ideally win the game.
Absolutely. I also think about adaptability. We both need to be able to adapt to new situations that come our way, maybe not quite what we expected, plan for different scenarios. Lots of resilience and adaptability required.
So as you can see, we in finance aren't really all that different than Super Bowl champs like, say, Patrick Mahomes. Speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, we have a wonderful guest coming on today to really get into the parallels between finance and football. So we're going to take a quick break and then get right into it.
Joining us today to talk about finance and football is a very special guest. From the defending Super Bowl champions, the Kansas City Chiefs, we have the club's very own CFO, Dan Crum. Dan, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me, Melissa. I appreciate it and looking forward to the conversation.
Dan, to begin with, you work for a really cool organization, three-time Super Bowl champs, twice while you're actually at the organization. Before we kick off, we had some fun questions that we thought we might start with. And the first one is, as you take a look at the Chiefs roster today of players, if somebody wasn't playing football, who do you think would make the best CFO?
I'd like to break that into, you've got current players and past players. So as far as current players, we have such a smart group of players on our team. Really hard to pick, but I would say there's a couple of guys that really stand out as far as being in that could be CFOs. So Joe Tooney is one. He's an offensive lineman for us. He actually finished his MBA while he was playing for us. He still plays for us and at the University of Indiana. And then another is Nick Allegretti, who's another offensive lineman. So you can see there's a theme there, offensive lineman. And Nick comes from a family of accounting, finance, people, and his parents are both in that world. And when we have financial education sessions, Nick is very sharp. He's asking a lot of good questions every time we do. And he's got an accounting and finance degree from college. So he's somebody that I would say would be in that category. But as far as past players, there's two that really stick out. Jordan Franks, who is a tight end for us. He's working on his MBA right now. He retired and he's very, very into finance and economics. And then Carlos Dunlap, who had a very distinguished 13-year career, was a defensive lineman. And I've spent many hours talking to both of these individuals and about the CFO world, finance world. And we've had some real deep conversations, in fact, talking about optimal capital structure, talking about the DuPont analysis, different things. And inflation, the economy. So we've had a lot of good conversations. And those two guys, I could definitely see being CFOs at some point.
Dan, really cool answer. I love the fact that you had a mix of both offensive and defensive linemen. Often as CFOs, we can be accused of being very, very risk averse. And so fun that your answer sort of balanced off those two perspectives. Now, on the other side of things, of all of the CFOs that you know, who do you think would make the best quarterback and why?
I'd say there's one that comes to mind, and his name is Anthony Noto, and he used to be the CFO of the NFL, and he actually played college football. He played at West Point. He played for Army, and he played college football, and I could see him definitely being a quarterback in the NFL, you know, and leading a team because he's done that at the NFL. He works at SoFi right now. So he's somebody that has the background, and he played football in college.
So you don't see a role as quarterback in your future then?
No, sorry. I think those days are past. I would love that, but
Well, never say never, but we certainly look forward to having some of those football players that are future CFOs on our show sometime in the future. We've already put them on our guest list.
They would make great interviews. They would make great panel discussions for you.
Now, with all kidding aside, are there a lot of parallels that you see between finance and football? I think about things like seeing around corners, pulling the team ahead, even maybe hurting the Cats.
Yes, there are a lot of parallels because you look at a football team, they have to prepare and they have to be prepared for every scenario. So they go through practice, they go through their training routine, they do a lot of work to get prepared and put the right playbook together, put the right team in place. And we have to do the same thing. We have to put the right team in place. We have to use the right systems. We have to have the right training and we have to be prepared for various scenarios, every scenario. So, for instance, I would say the biggest parallel between the team and a finance department, we've experienced it when we went through COVID. So, we saw where we had to adjust, the team had to adjust to a whole new routine, the social distancing, the contact tracing, the testing, all of those things. And we had to adjust on our end to working remote and having everything, not being able to meet in person, but meet via Teams or meet via Zoom, whatever method we were using at the time, so which we still use. But a lot of parallels in preparation, and I think that's just one that shows how you have to work through adversity.
Absolutely true. When I think about that need to be resilient, to have that adaptability, so critical. You talked about playbooks. What would you say is the parallel to that for finance?
The team has its playbook and we have our playbook basically. So we have various meetings. So the team prepares for games. Well, we prepare for big meetings with ownership, with our board of directors, and we have presentations that we provide. And so basically our playbook is the slide deck that has all the financials and all the different financial information, the different graphs, statements, et cetera, all pulled together to put together a game plan and to tell a story. And just like a team goes out there and they have a game plan for each game, we have our game plan. So we prepare for that by the team practices. Well, we practice. So we practice in front of other people. We practice that preparation and that presentation in front of others. And so as we go through each slide, we may have things that the people that we're presenting to tell us, okay, maybe you might want to add this point or you might want to take this point off, because just like each play, you're trying to execute something, you're trying to accomplish something. With each slide, we're trying to accomplish something. We're trying to tell a story to our ownership or our board of directors or the league. We're trying to tell that story. And so the preparation and the training, and we also, just like you'll see, coaches will have a sheet that they have right there and they're looking at throughout the game. Well, we have a script. We put together a script for each meeting where we have every slide has, this is what we're trying to accomplish on this slide, and this is the order that we're going to go. So there are a lot of parallels in that.
Dan, as you think about building out your finance team, do you think it's fundamentally similar to building out a roster of players? So I'm thinking about things like, a team might have a salary cap. So do we. We have a budget day to day. There's often a mix between drafting rookies or trading for veterans. We're facing the same things within our organizations. Do you go find somebody out of college or university? Do you pay more money for somebody that has years of experience? And probably pretty similar, I would guess, in terms of balancing off between the needs of today while still making sure you're set up for success in the future. What do you think about that?
We do look at it in very similar fashion, because we do. There are certain positions that we go to colleges and we look at that. And we have a great internship program. So we're taking students right from college into our internship program. And that's the equivalent of a tryout for us. So we get to see these college students come in and they work for us for 6 months. And we get to see what they're capable of. We get to see how they interact in our environment. And then there's others where for certain positions that are higher level that we really need an experienced person that we will go out and kind of the equivalent of a trade instead of the draft. We go out and we look at other companies and we look to see who really has that level of experience and that expertise and skill set that we're looking for. Because just like the team has each position, you have quarterback, center, running back, wide receiver, defensive tackle, linebacker. You have all those. We have those positions. So we have a CFO. We have a VP of finance, strategy, and analytics. We have data scientists. We have business intelligence manager. So we have all those positions. We have it by position. And just depending on what level of experience we need and management experience in particular in some positions are more, they don't have anybody reporting to them. So they may not need that management experience. And that's an opportunity for us to grow those people into management level. And we have a great program to do that, just like our team has a great program to take players and get them growing in coaches and get them growing and accepting more responsibility. So I just see a lot of parallels between the two.
Totally agree. And I even think about, you know, there's the skills and making sure you have the right people for the right positions. There's also what they're going to do culturally. Are they going to add to the culture? Are they going to be a real team player? Are they going to help motivate the team when the team's down, be willing to pitch in, help out, play their role, but also know where they have to play a role that's just outside of their specific role they're playing there. And I'm sure for a football team, the same thing rings true. You could have somebody who's amazing at their position, but if they're not adding to the team and helping create a better whole, then that's maybe not the right fit. So thanks, Stan, for that. Totally agree. Lots of great parallels. Sort of following alongside with that, how do you think about training in the context of your football team, your finance team? Are there any parallels with how you think about training for a football team, practices, getting ready for the big game? I think about some of the skill sets that we need to keep on evolving.
There are. And so we have a real strong training program and we have a number of CPAs on our staff. So by requirement, we have to take 40 hours of continuing professional education each year. But in addition to that, we go to seminars and conferences that are very specific to our job. So for instance, there's the MIT Sloan Management Conference, the analytics conference that we send our data scientists to, because it's very specific to what they do. And there's just different conferences that we go to. The league has conferences every so often for finance. So those are all opportunities for us to learn and to also kind of sharpen our skill sets. So we take those opportunities. We look at conferences. We look at training. We read a lot. We look at textbooks. Believe it or not, we still crack open the textbooks here and there. So I want to make sure that our staff is trained and ready to do everything that they need to do, because the other thing is our field is evolving and it's growing and it's getting, the skill sets are changing. So it's not like it used to be where it was very sort of, you kind of did one thing and you did that really well. Now you're also asked to really live in a world of data. And how do you take that data? How do you get it into your system and use it wisely to make really good decisions for your business? But I do feel like we spend a lot of effort, a lot of energy making sure that whatever trainings our people need, whatever professional education, whatever it may be, we have individuals that have gone back and pursued their MBA or pursued graduate degrees. And we really encourage that. We have a great program here that encourages and helps pay for that. So we take every opportunity because we're always learning. We don't know everything. And it's lifelong learning. And the way our field is changing, we just have to stay ahead of it. And training, education is just a huge part of that. We even have a book club that we talk about various things like behavioral science and behavioral psychology and how it can help us as an organization to achieve and accomplish things. So we're just constantly, we love to learn.
What's the book that your book club is currently reading?
We just actually finished reading Stop Overthinking. So it's a book about don't spend so much time overthinking something. Have a good system in place and a good process in place to analyze and not spend way too much time overthinking decisions and how you make a decision. It's really about just being very thoughtful, purposeful, and, you know, making sure that you're taking the right amount of time, not too much time, and just doing the right things to make the best decisions. So those types of books we've read, How to Have a Good Day by Caroline Webb. We've read The Power of Habit. We've read a whole lot of books that really help us out. And it's just, this is for the organization. It's not just for, you know, finance. It's for everybody.
The CFO Show is brought to you by Vena, the intelligent platform for complete planning. Vena's award-winning platform makes financial and operational planning more efficient, unlocks performance, and increases financial intelligence across the business, so finance teams and business leaders can plan for anything. Learn more at venasolutions.com.
It is something that we can be quite guilty of within finance, that concept of paralysis by analysis. So great to be getting training and tidbits to help us break through those sorts of challenges that are so, so common in our orgs. Now, Dan, if you think about the Super Bowl, sort of pinnacle of success for a football team, what do you think the parallel is, or the equivalent of winning the Super Bowl is, for a finance team?
Great question. So when we look there, there are different ways that we measure that and that we can measure it. So we look at what we're tasked to do. So a football team, the number one goal is to win the Super Bowl every year. So you want to do that. And so for us, our number one goal is we want to make sure that we're getting the best information accurately, timely, to our ownership group, to the rest of our organization, so that they can make the best decisions. So when we do that, when we budget and we hit our budget targets, when we finish out our financial statements and we prepare the final closing and we submit those and we get those audited and they come back with no adjustments, everything's accurate, timely. Those are the kind of things that we look at as the equivalent of winning the Super Bowl on our side. And then there's also, we're ranked in various things. The league does various audits and they do certain reviews of things and they rank you. Do you have the fewest adjustments? And we've had that number of years where we've been number one as far as fewest findings and things like that. So those are things that we look at as that's our version of winning the Super Bowl.
Awesome. So you are the Super Bowl champion of finance as well as on the field then?
That's our goal. We want to be. You know, we're always fighting to be better. And when I first started with the team 13 years ago, that was my goal, was to be, I told the individuals that interviewed me, was to be the best finance department in the NFL.
And Dan, when you think about that level of output, ultimately winning the Super Bowl, is it sustainable for a finance team year in, year out, or are there ups and downs, same as there are on any other team or professional sports team?
I do believe that it is sustainable, but I do believe you're going to have ups and downs, and you're going to have things, like I mentioned earlier, COVID, that kind of threw a curveball at us. And I think what helped us mostly through COVID is we are just such a planning organization, that we have such a planning culture and mentality, that when we were faced with it, it wasn't, okay, what do we do now? It's, okay, we have to put a plan in place and we have to execute. And so there were many late nights that we were working through that, but it's our planning culture and mentality. And we spend so much time on business planning each year. We have a really strong practice as far as that goes. And so I feel like just paying attention and constantly working to produce the best business plan each year sort of filters out into how we navigate through ups and downs. Because if we have a plan that we follow and we just keep following it, it's like a game plan. If we just keep following that plan, and we do have to course correct at times, that happens, but having a good solid plan and then having the people to execute that plan and the systems to execute it. So for us, it's been huge. Just when we made the conversion to Vena, it was huge. It was tremendous for us, for the entire organization, as far as budgeting, forecasting. Now we had a great tool, the best tool that we could find to help us through that. And that all incorporated into our planning mentality and our planning culture. And it's an integral part of what we do in planning.
When you think about some of the best strategies and techniques that some of the best coaches use in those moments of adversity, what would be some of the learnings you think we can take from them and apply them in finance?
I look at our coach and I'll selfishly say that we've got the best coach of the NFL in Andy Reid. And I look at Andy, I look at the way that he handles everything. And so we've had stretches where the team has done extremely well, and we've had stretches where we've lost a game here and there. But his demeanor, the way he approaches his job, is always the same, very calm. He has such a calm nature about him that the rest of the team just follows that and they feed off of that. So instead of getting upset or getting emotional, he just really stays very calm, and he sort of gets the team to just follow what he does. And so he's navigated through ups and downs. So last year in the Super Bowl, we were down, and then Patrick Mahomes got injured, and there was a lot of anxiety around all that. But then we came back. But, you know, you looked at Andy, and he never changed his demeanor, and he just kept working through it. And the team fed off of that, and they kept working through it. And we turned it around and ended up winning the game. And so I feel that just following and modeling off of him and the way he is, just so very calm, and he's just done a great job with really taking a group of individuals in tough situations and just keeping everybody calm, focused on the goal, and focused on what do we need to do to execute our plan. And we have a plan. So same thing with finance. We have a plan, and sometimes things happen. There may be different things that happen in the economy. There may be the World Health Organization and a pandemic, things like that. But if we have a plan and we just execute, and if I stay calm and my team stays really calm, we kind of, throughout the organization, everybody picks up on that and they feed off of that.
I love that advice in terms of staying calm, sticking to the plan, not allowing yourself to become disorganized. Anything you've seen that creates the motivation in the moment, or whether it's him or other coaches, any motivational pieces that you've picked up as well from them?
Absolutely. So I'm blessed to be part of this organization, but to be able, my office overlooks the practice fields. And so I see it every day. I see those guys, how hard they work. I see the effort, the intensity, the commitment that they have to this game and to what, and to their jobs and to what they do, and winning a championship. And I feed off of that. My group feeds off of that. Our organization in general feeds off of that, because we just see how hard they work, and they're here early, they're here late. Just the other night, it was getting dark outside, and they had a practice that, instead of having a normal time of the day, was later in the evening. And I saw them come off the field, and it was, you know, starting to turn dark. And I saw one of our players, and I asked him, what was it like practicing out in the dark? And he said, amazing. So I just look at that. I see that those guys, no matter what the situation, the circumstance, they're out there working super hard. And it's just motivational for us to see how hard they work and how committed they are to this.
Dan, in both finance as well as in football, communication is really, really key in fostering collaboration, reducing errors, and ultimately ensuring everybody's on the same page. Are there any sort of key principles or applications that can be applied to ultimately improve results and make sure everybody's marching forward in the same direction?
We have to, and you said it, communication is the key. We have to make sure that we're communicating and that really there's no surprises. There's no distractions. We have to make sure that the communication is not only good in our department internally, but we interface, we touch every department in the entire organization. And so it's really huge for us to be good communicators and to get ahead of things so that there are no surprises. When something is going to come in different than what we expected it to be, we want to get ahead of that. And we want to make sure that we're messaging that, look, this is going to be different than what we had anticipated, and this is why. But we feel that communication is so important. And we're a trusted advisor to the rest of the organization because they lean on us and they look at us to provide the information and to keep them updated and to make sure that everything they need, they're getting from us. So we have to really be good communicators. And we have information that isn't always easily absorbed. It's not something that everybody may understand, but we have to tell it in a way that everybody can understand it and that everybody can not just understand it, but appreciate and know their role and how they impact it. And so that's a key for us, is to make sure that this is how you impact these results. So decisions that we talked about and that we made 6 months ago, a year ago, we might be seeing in the financial statements today. So we just have to make sure that that communication and how everybody impacts our financials and our organization, our operation.
I love that you speak about that, helping them understand the clarity of their role and connecting those dots with how they're impacting the outcomes that you're trying to achieve. So many great parallels there. Now, when you think about that collaboration and the coordination that's required for a football team to be successful, I think a lot of that is also required in a finance team. Any advice you've got there in how to effectively coordinate and collaborate and drive a better team approach?
I think it really starts with the goals and what goals you set. You have to be very clear on what your goals are. And then you have to make sure that everybody's on board with those goals and they understand their role in achieving those goals. And so it's really having the right people and articulating what our goals, why we're here. It really comes down to why are we here? It starts with that. And so once everybody understands why they're here and what their roles are, it's making sure that everybody's doing their job and they're doing what they need to do, and they're getting the resources they need. And so getting the resources, having a shared purpose and a common vision and goal are so important to us because we all know what our goals are and we know what we're trying to accomplish. And part of that is really just being the best that we can be and taking the steps and the measures to do that. So we do that through all of our training and education and also just the work we do and interfacing with the other departments because we get to see how they operate too. So we get to see how everybody in this organization operates because we're really fortunate in that we get to interface with every single department. And so we see what they do and we see what we do. There are times where we pick up some tips or pointers that maybe we utilize in our department. So I think those are just really the keys.
So you touched on this a bit earlier, Dan, but I want to dig into scenario planning because that is something that is so key for finance teams and similarly for football teams because sometimes the scenario changes that you think you're in. You know, what if your star football player gets hurt? What if Taylor Swift starts coming to your football games? I think we have to be ready for anything. And so maybe you can talk a bit about what that looks like for us and where some of the parallels are.
We have to be prepared for everything. So this year, when we first started planning, we were planning for a potential recession because that was the economic guidance that was coming to us. And we spent a lot of time. In fact, I spent quite a bit of time talking to two of the future CFOs about the economy. In our discussions, that was a prevalent theme, was recession, was inflation. So we had to plan for that. And fortunately, it didn't really come about for us that we had to deal with the recession. But it's really about different scenarios. So we had a plan for, okay, if we are going towards a recession, this is how we're going to be prepared for that. And if we're not, well, then here's a plan too. So just like COVID, when we had to plan for, when we first started planning, it was at first no games. Then we were thinking, okay, maybe there might be a shot we could play games and we could play in front of a full crowd. Then it was zero crowd. Then it was partial. And we finally landed and on 20% capacity. And so what happened was we went through different scenarios. We went through our scenario planning and we planned for every single scenario that we had until we landed on the right, until we knew exactly what the health department and the league's health department would allow. But that all goes back to we have a good planning culture and you have to be prepared for multiple scenarios, especially in this business, because we may be prepared for a game and we may think it's going to be good weather and then it may turn on us. It may be ice. It may be snow. It may be something that's going to impact us. And we have to be ready to not only keep the stadium clear of snow and ice and have a good, safe passage for our fans to go in and out through roadways, through the stadium, walkways, steps, everything, but also how does that impact concessions and merchandise sales and things like that? How does that impact attendance? So we have to be prepared for that. And that's not just financial planning, but it's operational planning throughout the organization. So it just really goes back to being able to look at different scenarios. And we're blessed that we have a really good executive team that has a lot of experience with this team. We have members that have been here 13 years, 12 years. And so they've seen a lot and they've seen different scenarios play out. So that helps us as far as just being able to kind of read and react.
Dan, if you were to summarize our conversation from today, what would the two key pieces of advice that you'd want our viewers to take away be?
First is just surround yourself with great people. Find the best people that you can. And then I would say also, in addition to people, the systems as well. But I think you have to be adaptable and you have to have a good planning culture in place and you have to be ready for different scenarios. And I think organizations that really make a concerted effort to work hard on scenario planning and just having good plans have a much greater chance for success than if you don't. So I would say really first is have great people, train them, motivate them, give them the motivation they need, and then also just have a great planning culture too.
Excellent advice. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with us, Dan.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Whenever we have guests on the show, we do have two rapid-fire questions that we like to ask them. So are you ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
All right. What is the best piece of professional or business advice that you've ever received?
I would say that the best piece is think like the owner. So I worked at a company many years ago where the owner and I sat down. We used to talk quite frequently and talk about the business and the operation and just where the business was headed. And one day he was talking to me and he said, you know, the problem with some of the employees is they don't feel like it's their dollar. They're not thinking like the owner. They really need to think like the owner. And so what he meant by that was, yeah, when you think like the owner and the decisions you make, you're more connected to the outcome. So you're a lot more purposeful and thoughtful and think of it as if this was your money you were investing or a decision you were making to whatever it may be. But I feel like that's the best piece of advice I've received is think like the owner. And I use it in how I report to the ownership and what information I give them. And you're just more connected to the outcomes when you feel like, yeah, this is my company. It's my money that I'm investing. So I think that's the best piece of advice I'd received.
And what is something that you do in your personal life that helps you show up as your best self in your professional life?
I would say there's a few things. So I try to exercise. Yoga is kind of my main thing. I really try to do yoga, you know, 3-4 times a week. It's great for grounding and balancing. I also try to read. And, you know, as I mentioned, we have a book club and I do that. There are certain things, certain places that I like to go. I kind of go on what I call pilgrimages every year. I go to these certain places and it's a good way for me to just kind of reconnect to things that I really like to do in my spare time. And, you know, so I would say that. And then just as far as, you know, go to church every Sunday and keep grounded in my faith. So it's just a combination of try to keep my mind sharp, try to keep in the best shape I can be in, you know, physically and then also spiritually. So I just try to combine everything, and that allows me to be the best version of myself.
Really valuable advice there. Thank you so much, Dan, for joining us today. And thanks, Tom, for being my co-host on this episode. If you'd like more information about today's show, please see the links in the show notes. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to or watch your podcast, because you don't want to miss an episode. For the CFO Show, I'm Melissa Howitson. Until next time.